You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We're in a series of messages, and we're talking about when God shows up. And we all understand that when God shows up, something takes place that wouldn't usually happen. And we see how God showed up in Moses' life. And how Moses was really a God, in Moses' life, God was a God of a second chance. Really more than that. How many are glad that God has given you a second chance in life? How many are glad? Some of you, and me included, it's a third, it's a fourth, it's a fifth. But how many are glad that God didn't give up on you? Amen? Sure. And that's the story of Moses, because for 40 years, 40, he's kicking dirt clods on the back of the desert thinking that his life is over, that there is no hope. And then God shows up in a burning bush. And see, God shows up in the ordinary. Bushes would burn in the desert. It was ordinary. But what was unordinary was that the bush didn't burn up. And that Moses didn't just ignore it, but he turned and he looked. See, God works through the ordinary, and then he does the extraordinary. And we know the story of Moses, a comeback story. And then we see the story, and I love the story of Joshua. The story of Joshua has to do, I think, there's a real emphasis here in religion. Because God's saying to Joshua, Joshua, you know, Moses is dead, and I'm not going to do it the same way. So the theme is, let go of yesterday. It's not going to happen the same way. You let it go. You remember it, but you don't worship it. And see, the children of Israel would have worshiped him. That's the reason that God buried Moses himself. God took Moses up and buried him because he knew how the children of Israel were. And they would have probably made a shrine and they would have probably worshiped him. And God says, listen, no, it's not. We're not going to do it like Moses did it. See, religion says we always do it the same way. God, relationship, when there's a freshness, there's a church that says, God, however you want to do it, we're on board with you. It's fresh and it's new. Amen? Amen. And so we see with Joshua this whole dynamic of letting go and accepting a new challenge, a new day. Well, we come to Jonah and this story, so fascinating. This story has to do with God getting Jonah's attention because he is on a track, and I believe it's so practical, it's so real, it's so relevant. Listen, he's on a track of disobedience. Everybody understand here today, God is concerned with obedience. In fact, it's the issue of faith. Obedience. Obedience is really faith in action. And you see, faith is the only way that we please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So really, without obedience, it's impossible to please God. What do we want more than anything else as parents with our children? We have these precious babies and they come into our life and we have no idea how they're going to change our life. And all of a sudden our whole worlds are turned upside down. But we are given these children by God. And what is our responsibility by God is to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And how many know that you have to teach children respect? To respect authority, to respect the law, to respect God. And so our children, what do we want more than anything else out of our children? What do we want? Obedience. We want obedience. You know, I've told you before, hey, buddy, take out the trash. Hey, buddy, take out the trash. Hey, buddy, take out the trash. I said, take out the trash. Coffee grounds all the way through the hole in the bottom. And what do we long for? Hey, buddy, take out the trash. Okay, Dad, I'll do it. Oh, what a day that would have been. Don't we want our kids to obey? Hello? And when they disobey, what do? We discipline them. We help them to obey. We've all seen a spoiled, rotten child that throws tantrums. You know, it's one thing when they're 2 or 3 years old. It's another thing when they're just a little bit older. Hello? And what are they throwing a fit over? They don't want to obey. And if you don't discipline or teach obedience, then you have adults that when they don't get their way, we're going to see today, this is a story about a temper tantrum. That's what this story's about. It's about a grown man not getting what he wanted, having to do something he didn't want to do, and he threw a little hissy fit. And it's no different today. I see it in the church all the time. You see it. You see it as well. You see it in the workplace. You see it in your marriage. No doubt see it in church. There's some things as we look at this. Remember, obedience pays, disobedience doesn't. How about this? Here's something else that we learn in the overall story. God loves everyone. God loves everyone. That was what God was saying. I want you to go preach, Jonah. I want you to go preach to these people. And Jonah didn't even think God loves these people. And God was saying, I love everyone. God so loved the world that he gave. God loved and he gave. I think too many times we get a little bit of a warped view. Living in America, a warped view of the world, the need. We're so blessed. We're blessed. And we're financially blessed, but we're blessed to be a blessing. God loves the world. Some of us have heard the gospel Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, our whole life, been to revival services. There's a church on every street corner. You can hear the gospel pretty much any day of the week. You can turn it on your radio. You can see it on TV. And there's yet billions of people who have yet to hear the wonderful message of Jesus. And sometimes we're so indifferent when it comes to missions. Oh, I just don't know if I can afford missions. I just don't know if I can afford above and beyond giving of my tithe. Really? Really? Are we that naive? Have we put our head in the sand that much that we don't see? There's a world, and God so loved the world, and God is in the business of people, 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 people. And if God loves people, then we're to love people. Amen? That's why we're an evangelistic church. It's why we're a missions-giving church. It's because God loves people. How about this? God would rather reward obedience than punish disobedience. God would much rather reward obedience. We won't go into it, but let me just share this much of it, and you'll be able to fill in all the rest. When my dad would whoop me, and some of you relate to this, he would say, son, I'm doing this because I love you. And he would say, son, this is hurting me worse than it's hurting you. And I thought my dad was lying for all those years. Because it didn't hurt him worse, it hurt me worse. When I figured out what he was saying is when I became a dad. And you see, as parents, we understand we would much rather obey or reward obedience than we would to punish disobedience. And of course, the main theme is God has a purpose for us. We can put up with a lot. We can do a lot. If we realize there's purpose, that God has a plan in this. We're able to put up with people that are hard to put up with when we realize that it's a part of the plan. We're able to work long. We're able to work hard. We're able to give our all, to make sacrifice when we realize there is a purpose. Now, this is so important, so important. Jonah was asked to do something. We're going to read about it in just a moment. He was asked to do something that was totally in opposition to his worldview, to his thinking. God was asking him to go preach to a group of people that, according to Jonah, hated him, and Jonah disliked them. The Assyrians had attacked the Jewish people on three different occasions. And Jonah grows up just thinking, I don't like the Assyrians. They don't like me. They are out to kill me. And here God is asking him to go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians, and to preach. And it really rocked Jonah. You know, I'm trying to find comparisons to that. It's like God saying to us, I want you to go preach to ISIS. We'd say, God, they're going to kill us. Let's send in tracks. It would be like Israel, God, you know, go preach to Iran. They have a stated purpose to annihilate us off the face of the earth. Why? How? Well, that's what's happening here. God is saying, I want you to go preach to these Assyrians, and Jonah was not prepared, nor did he want to go. Now, here's the story. It's right here. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So God spoke this. This wasn't in his dreams. This wasn't like, I think God wants me to do this. It was very clear. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil comes up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now here's the foundational statement for these points that we're going to give you this morning. None of us have a hard time obeying God when God asks us to do what we want to do. Did everybody hear that? In case you didn't, I'll repeat it. None of us have a hard time doing what God wants us to do when it's what we want to do also. See, no one has ever disobeyed God when it was their choice. It's what they want to do. The issue of obedience to God, trusting Him, walking under His lordship, obeying His word, obeying those that God has put over us in our life, that's the real issue. And as long as it's what we want, then we don't have an issue with it. But all of a sudden, God comes along and asks him to do something that he's not prepared for, nor does he want to do. See, he doesn't even think that God loves these people, and he certainly didn't love these people. Here's another statement. Grab a hold of this one. You see, our actions when things are going well are not as significant as our reactions when things are not going well. Our actions when things are going well are not as significant as our reactions when things are not going well. See, when things aren't going well, our reactions, that's when our true character comes out. That's when our integrity comes out. See, this is an old, old, old story, but it's being played out in homes, in the workplace, in church every day. And here it is. There's some people, as long as they get their way, they're not challenged by authority figures, whether that be God, whether that be pastor or spiritual authorities, their life, as long as they're not challenged, they're fine. But let someone challenge them, and it's like, you're challenging me. You can't hardly even talk. And what happens, and it happens in the church a lot, it's this. People throw a little fit because they don't get their way. Now they're going to quit. They become a martyr. And they're going to try to make people feel sorry for them. And now they're going to throw their little fit. They're self-appointed martyrs. And they're always threatening to quit church or to quit whatever it is. Because things now aren't going their way. Now, folks, you think that's something new? That's what this story's all about. Jonah's got it going on. I mean, he is chaplain of Jeroboam II, the best king since Solomon to the Jewish people. He has entertained and preached in the highest courts. He's greatly respected. He's the Billy Graham of his day. He's a popular preacher. He's influential. So everything is going his way, but when he's asked to do something or he's challenged in something that he doesn't want to do and he's not prepared to do, then he throws his little fit and he gets all spiritual and decides, I'm going to quit God, I'm going to quit church, I'm going to go do my own thing. People get upset because someone doesn't recognize them, because they don't feel like they're respected, or because somebody forgot something. The church isn't out to hurt you, honey. Listen to me. This church isn't. This preacher isn't. But I'm amazed at how many people get their little attitude and they want to quit because they don't get their way. It happens in the workplace. Let me tell you something. It happens in marriage. I'll just quit. Let's just get divorced. It happens in every phase of life. This is a story of obedience and maturity to help us to grow up in the things of God. Now, why did he pick Tarsus? There was a specific reason. And he picked Tarsus, and here's why. Look at this. Verse number 3, but Jonah rose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, the Jewish people believed that God didn't speak in another place or another country, so he's getting out. Let me relate it today. People don't like a message. They don't like a strong message in society today. So many places want a feel-good message over truth. And so people want to go, they want to flee to where they don't have to deal with conviction. Jonah didn't want to have to deal with conviction, so what did he do? He went to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord, because God won't speak to me there. It's not going to be a challenging word. And then get down here to the end. So he says, so he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So the reason he went to Tarshish is he wanted to get away from God. He wanted to get away from a convicting word. He just wanted to get away. Now, let me quickly this morning go through some travel tips for Tarshish. You might write this down. These are travel tips for getting on the ship of disobedience. The ship, disobedience. There's two ships at the port. One's obedience and one's disobedience. And let me tell you, the accommodations and the experience are radically different. So since Jonah gives us the insight for taking ship disobedience, and sometimes looking at the negative helps us to see the positive, let's see what happened to Jonah when he got on. Number one is this: arrangements for the wrong destination can be easily made. Look at verse number one, or number three, chapter one. Easily made. Watch this. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down. Again, how many knows it's easier to go downhill than uphill? It's true. It's true. I ride my bike. I've told you this. I live on that side of the pass. I hit the bridge going west. I'm still feeling pretty good. I've still got it geared up a little bit. I'll stand up and I'll crank it out. I'll make my little track. I try to go about 20 miles. And when I come back, and if I hit the beach road headed back, and all of a sudden the wind's in my face, by the time I get to that bridge, I'm trying to grab a car when it goes by to pull me over. Slow down. I will not walk. You'll never see me walking. I may fall over, but I'm not walking. I'm going to tell you, it's harder going uphill than it is going downhill. Both ways, going downhill, I fly. Breeze is in my hair. Oh, it's good. But it was easy to go down. He went down, and he found a ship. It's real easy to find. Found a ship. He paid the fare. He obviously wasn't too expensive because he had some money. He's able to pay it. He just went on board to go with them to Tarshish to get away from the presence of God. Again, there is a crazy theology that people come up with. This home, I call it a homespun theology. But really, there's a lot of immaturity to this, and it's, well, things are going good, so it must be the will of God. Everything is going great, so this has got to be God's will. And then the flip side of that, well, everything's going really bad, so this can't be God's will. You can't look at either one of those. That's not, God's will is never judged by circumstance. And people will say, well, you got to look at the circumstances. You know what? Circumstances has never been the writing issue for me. And I don't think it is for God. I was thinking about it this week. And I've been a lead pastor for over 20 years, about 22 years. Been in ministry for 32, 33 years, was in youth ministry for a lot of years. And I'm not saying this to make, I don't want you to feel bad for me, not at all. But I just wanted to let you know this. In all my years of ministry, the most difficult thing I've ever done, the most difficult season I have ever experienced in my life, it was right here at Christian Life Church. We walked through a dark, dark season of time and trying to navigate that season and hold this church together. Let me tell you something. And I never doubt that I was not in the will of God. It was the hardest time of my life, yet I knew I was right in the will of God. I knew that all my life experience was for that moment. See, we think, well, if it's easy, it's God, and if it's hard, it's the devil. That's a very elementary, that's an immature way of looking at the will of God. You say, okay, Pastor, I'll acknowledge that. I get it. I get what you're saying. Then how do I know? Let's go back. Walk the will, walk the will, walk the will. If you're walking every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you're walking, if you're praying it every day, that's not crisis. People that say, well, I don't know. I'm seeking the will of God. I'm seeking the will of God. I'm seeking the will of God on what I need to do. Usually people are wanting to get their own way. Usually if we are walking, 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 then when decisions come, we're already walking with God. We're in His Word. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're already praying. We're communicating with our Father. We're in right relationship. And then it's not based on circumstance, but it's based on what? Peace. Not peace in outward situations and circumstances. It may be storming, but peace. Peace. God's will. God's will. It's not the absence of problems. It's knowing God speaking. The peace of God that's within me. Don't ever buy into this easy theology. If things are going well, you're pleasing God. And if they're not, then you're not pleasing God. It was easy for Jonah, but he was on the wrong road. See, we want outward signs. We want outward confirmation, but we're not willing to pay the price for intimacy. Pay the price in intimacy. Draw close. Be led in the heart, not the head. It always costs more to go second class than it does first class. Obviously, when you pay your own way, you get what you pay for. What's it say here? So he paid the fare. Jonah got what he paid for. When you pay your way, you get what you pay for. When you go with God, God pays the way. He paid the price for us. And when you walk in obedience with God, then you get what he paid for. Amen? Would you rather have what you paid for? Second class. Would you rather have what God paid for? It's first class. It's first class. Walk under that umbrella. See, when you obey, you're in the palm of his hand. Walk under that umbrella of protection. And that is when spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, your spirit, man, is fed. You're not being led by the flesh. See, there's a war between the flesh and the spirit. There's a war between your soul and your spirit. You got to let the spirit man rule, because you can't allow the flesh. The flesh, the mind, the will, the emotions are at odds with the spirit man, the will and purpose of God. And so you got to keep spirit man, and you got to keep your mind, your will, and your emotions in check. We want to figure it out. No, you live according to spirit, then you have the soul, then the body's in subjection, and then you have divine protection. But as soon as you start, well, I think, I feel, I thought, I want, you're living according to your soul, and you're going to get out from underneath his protection. Here's the third thing. You really can't get away from it all. Have you ever thought, man, I need a vacation. I just need to get away from it all. Hello? Liz and I took a vacation last year. We took a cruise, got on the cruise. Guess what? There were people from the church on the cruise. I love you to death. I don't want to go on a cruise with you. I love you to death, but when I need to get away, I need to get away. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I laughed, and then I cried. Stayed in my room the whole time. You're wondering, well, what did you want to do that you couldn't do? I just wanted to be alone. Anybody get it? Well, you never can really get away from it all. Look at verse 4. And those people were snowbirds, and they're not here, so they don't know it, so don't tell them. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. You see, God had a plan for his life, and God was basically saying, Jonah, I want you. You're a part of that plan, and I'm not going to give you rest until you say yes. Some of you wonder, say, why is my life? Maybe God is trying to get your attention. Maybe you're on disobedience, and he's trying to get your attention. There's no rest on disobedience. See, we need to stop running from God, and we need to start relying on God. See, Jonah thought, I can just get away from it all. I can go somewhere where God's not, so I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord. What did David say? David said, if I make my bed in hell, God, you're with me. Here, I got some good news for you. God's not going to let you rest. If you are walking in disobedience, God loves you. He's coming after you. That's good, but he's coming after you. And I want to tell you something else. See, he goes after the one lost sheep. He's that kind of God. He goes after the one lost sheep. Are you in disobedience? Are you away from God? Are you running from God? Are you going in the opposite direction? God's not give up on you, and he's coming after you. Now, for you parents, so you got a wayward son or daughter, that's good news. Because if you raise them in the ways of God, God's going after them. Keep praying. Keep praying. So, you really can't get away. You really can't get away from it all. How about this? Your baggage might not arrive at its destination. Look at verse number 5. The mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo into the ship and in the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone to the inner parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. See, I think this is a statement about what we value. What we value. You remember this? You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. It's amazing our concept of things, especially in American culture. And our whole idea of success is on how big our house or where we live or what we drive, our toys. Stuff doesn't satisfy. Stuff doesn't satisfy. Let me say this for just what it's worth. Stuff and ideas keep a lot of people out of church. And there's a lot of people that have been held out of church. They say they love God, but because of things, because of materialism, because of affluence, because of the ability, they do and go at their leisure. And here's what happens. Their kids end up many times going away from God. And if they say, if I could go back and do it, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it because I lost my kids in the process. Or I lost my wife in the process. I lost my family. Stuff is just not worth it. They threw it all overboard. When we're running from God, there comes a time when I think when God's pursuing us in this situation, all of a sudden, Jonah's stuff didn't mean nothing to him anymore. In the end, stuff doesn't mean anything. Hello? When my dad laid sick and dying, hemorrhaging of tuberculosis, and he had holes in his lungs the size of your fist, I've told you the story, and he would cough up blood. And I remember I was just kindergarten, first grade, and I'd see in the laundry basket, I saw handkerchiefs. I just saw all these just handkerchiefs and towels that were just soaked in blood, and it was hard for me figuring out what was going on. Of course, ultimately, you know, told you the story how God healed my dad. But listen to this. When Dad laid in bed, I've heard him preach this 1,000 times. He said, I'm laying there dying, and he said, I'm calling out to God, saying, God, I just want to see that boy graduate. God, just let me live long enough to see him graduate. And he's talking to God, and he's praying to God. He said, do you know in that time, when I thought my time had come, he said, I couldn't remember if our house was blue or if it was green. He said, do I have a 4-car garage, or do I have a 3-car garage, or do I have a 1-car garage? What kind of car do I drive? He said, all of a sudden, none of that mattered. What matters is being in right relationship and in obedience with God. Amen? Because our baggage is not going to make it. Here's the next thing. Band, you can go ahead and join me, would you please? Your rest will be disturbed by housekeeping. Anybody ever been in a hotel and it's your time to sleep in and you forgot to put the do not disturb sign on and they're knocking at the door at 7:30 in the morning? If I don't turn my ringer off, I got some people that feel led to send me texts every morning of scriptures that I'm already going to read anyway because I'm on the same Bible program they are. But my little alarm goes beep, 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 beep all morning. And I keep saying, oh, I'm going to tell them to take me off that, but I just don't want to make them feel bad. But usually they wake me up before my alarm wakes me up. See, here's the deal. Your rest will be disturbed by housekeeping. Somebody somebody's going to knock on your door. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean? Now, I love this right here. You sleeper. Arise and call to your God, and perhaps the God will give us a thought on what to do. If God can't get our attention one way, he'll get it another, and he'll send somebody. He'll send somebody. How about this? You'll be given personal attention. Personal attention. Look in verse number 7. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots and fell on Jonah. Personal attention. God's a personal God. He knows your name. It's going to come back around. He's going to get your attention. He knows you by name. How about the next thing? You're going to have to show your ID. Look at this. They said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come. What? I love this. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? Where's your country? And what people are you? Folks, listen to this real good. A lot of folks think that they're going to get away with their disobedience. But God's going to call you out. Now, I don't like that. I'm just a messenger. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. But see, we want this easy grace, and there's a message of easy grace. Well, God already knows, and you've already been forgiven. You know, I see that, and I understand that, but I don't see Jonah getting away with being disobedient here. He doesn't get away with this. Remember Peter? Hey, you were with Jesus. He had disobeyed. He had denied the Lord. You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. You were with, yes, you were. I know you. No, I wasn't. Interesting. God was calling him out. So much short. Get this. This is really fascinating. You'll have to jump out of the boat. You're going to have to jump out of the boat of disobedience. Let me just tell you this. Your boat of disobedience, listen to me, it's going down. So you're going to have to jump out. Hello? Watch this. He said to Jonah, verse 12, he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. So he knew, I got to get out of the boat. I got to jump. Now, these guys, I don't think they were Christ followers, but they did what we in the church do so much. When someone's walking in disobedience, and we come alongside them, we say, now listen, everything's going to be all right. Let's just, you know, and we kind of pamper people along. Can I just say this? This is a hard message. God didn't pamper poor little Jonah. You know who pampered him? The people on the ship. They acted like the church did. I'm not telling the church to be mean, but listen what they did. Look in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They said, we'll get you back to shore. We're so sorry that you had to jump out. We'll get you back to shore. But they couldn't. You know why? Because the sea grew more and more tempest against them. See, we want to try to help people. It's not our help. We can't help. What's the answer for disobedience? Obedience. Hello? Repentance. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. There's no easy road back. It's going to be paying the price of repentance. How about this? Swimming? He got to go swimming. Whether he wanted to or not, he got through in the deep end. Don't know if he could swim, but he got thrown in. Verse 15, they picked up Jonah and hurled him in the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. And here's the last thing. It will be an unforgettable trip. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. How many say that's pretty unforgettable? If they'd had counseling back then, Jonah would have needed it after that experience. You know what Jonah needed? Jonah needed repentance. Jonah needed repentance. He needed obedience. He needed, you know what, restitution. Make things right. Surrender, submission. He needed to get off of the me train and get on God's train. Because this is an unforgettable trip, but let me tell you this. If you get on the ship of obedience, can I tell you it's a more unforgettable trip than the trip of disobedience? Why is it? This is such an incredible story. So long ago, 4 chapters. And if it is not 21st century news and relevant for us today about obedience, loving God, being disciplined, doing it right, doing God's way rather than our way, you can't get more relevant than what we're talking about today. So when are we going to start living right? See, everybody's got an excuse as to why they don't obey. Everybody. Mom's fault, dad's fault, school's fault, preacher's fault, church's fault. Jonah had an excuse. Why, God, those people hate me. When are we going to stop making excuses for our lack of holiness, our lack of righteousness? When are we going to stop making excuses for the way we live? For keeping ourselves pure sexually? When are we going to stop making excuses? Because this is a story about excuses, and it's a story about God saying, I don't care about your excuse, you need to obey. And we, like the sailors, we want to pamper them along and get them back to shore. And God says, no, there's only one way. I got to get this boy's attention. And God uses the great fish, and it's a symbol of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, 3 days a night in the deep, in the dark. But then he's birthed forth, and guess what? Oh, Jonah has his problems getting there, but he eventually gets to Nineveh, and all these people get saved. The city gets saved. And guess what Jonah said then? Well, I perceive salvation is of the Lord. He wanted to do it his way, but doing it his way got him to the point that he recognized it's only by God's way. Don't fight God today. Don't fight God. If you're on the ship of disobedience, repent. Get right. Your disobedience is affecting not only you. It's affecting your spouse. It's affecting your work. It'll affect this church. Get on the track of obedience. How many recognize this? There was a king. He disobeyed. He was supposed to kill everyone and everything. He didn't. And the man of God came out and said to him, Saul, what's that I hear? The bleeding of the sheep. Bleeding of the sheep. And he goes, oh, we saved the best. And these words were uttered. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Some of you give a lot of money to this church. You know what I say? Thank you. But that's not all God requires. See, we want to say, but God, I give money. God's saying, thank you. Good. Obey in other areas of your life. But I serve. But I give so much time. But you don't know what I do, and I do, and I do, and I do. And God says, that's all wonderful, but I want you to be obedient. Amen? What do we want from our children? We want them to obey. What's God want from his children? He wants us to obey. And the willing and obedient will eat the good. Amen? Amen. Amen.